Chapter 14. My hands shook so hard that I had to try three times before I could get the key into the ignition of my car, but it took only a few minutes to drive to Levi's hospital. The green truck sat in the parking lot. The truck was empty. I jumped from my car and ran to the ER entrance. "Was a black-haired woman just admitted?" I asked the receptionist at the desk. "She may have been complaining of stomach pain or having breathing problems." The middle-aged woman behind the glass partition looked up. "Are you a relative?"
No, I just happen to know her."
She stared at me for a full 5 seconds, then said, "I'll have to check." She left the desk and disappeared somewhere down the hall. I paced the floor. The hands of the clock seemed to be stuck in one position. When at last the receptionist reappeared, Grant was with her. I ran to him.
"Grant, do you know anything about Eileen?"
"The doctors are doing what they can, Darcy. You'd better tell me what you know about this."
He took my arm and guided me to two chairs situated beside a large potted palm.
"Doing what they can, so was I right? Did she drink poison?"
"Maybe. Maybe she just choked on a piece of food. Tell me again how all this went down."
So I retold Grant about the visit to Dilly's, the message from a stranger that took me away from the table, the coffee spill. As I talked, Grant scribbled in a pocket-sized notebook.
"And that's it," I finished.
Honestly, it was warmer outdoors than in here. I crossed my arms over my chest and shivered. Grant got up, went to the coffee dispenser, and brought back two styrofoam cups of the hot drink. I held it in both hands, trying to stop shaking. Grant ran his hand through his hair.
"So you think Eileen put something in your coffee while you were gone and then drank it by mistake?"
My teeth were chattering.
"I don't know. Maybe."
We stared at each other, trying to absorb the awfulness of the situation. A man stopped in front of us, and I looked up into a fiery red face topped with hair sticking out from under his baseball cap like tufts of straw.
"You!"
he thundered, pointing a finger at me.
"You are the one who killed her. She's dead, and you're a murderer."
Grant stood up and placed himself squarely in front of me. His voice was low.
"Hold on and quiet down. I need some information from you, and I need you to come with me to my office."
The man was breathing hard. When the man showed no inclination to move, Grant jerked his thumb toward the door.
"Now!"
he barked. He looked at me and in a much quieter voice said,
"Darcy, go home and stay there."
I nodded and stumbled out to my car. It was only when I reached the door of the escape that I realized I still held the styrofoam cup as if I were grasping a lifeline.